Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're rolling with Jason and John. 92.9 FM ESPN. Still rolling without John for now, but let me tell you something. The countdown is on. He'll be back with us soon. I hope he enjoys these last 2 weeks of paternity leave. Because work is calling. Work is calling. And I'll tell you what, we're enjoying things around here. I always come in here, Brad, with a little extra pep in my step. When we come off a weekend, we're fade Brad. Has paid off in the way that it has. We will talk about that certainly. Your performance over the weekend, my good MVP levels, Brad. Get your speech ready, because I'm going to give you a chance. Wow. What a weekend. Minnesota, wow. Pacers, wow. Both punched their tickets to the conference finals with Game 7 wins on the road yesterday. Both very impressive. Both. But they did it in sort of opposite ways, didn't they? The Pacers, a record-breaking offensive performance as they close out a banged-up Knicks squad. Got even more banged up. Poor Jalen Brunson. Fractured his hand in that thing. They're going to have to put Tibbs out there by the end of that thing. Just didn't have any bodies left. I see the big narrative today. Did Tibbs push him too hard this season? Is that why the Knicks broke down? Give the Pacers credit. I'll tell you what, especially, again, offensively. And then the other side of what we were discussing there, Minnesota did it with defense, particularly in the second half, just a suffocating defense, the number one defense in the league this season, really locked in, particularly in that third quarter. And my goodness, there's Anthony Edwards telling the Denver Nuggets fans, bye-bye, go home. I mean, we knew we might see it. We really did. We talked about that on Friday. I told you, though, I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, Jokic goes crazy. We said all eyes would be on Jamal Murray, and for the first half, he was brilliant. Second half, they locked him up. Defense, again, Minnesota moving on. And so, you know, Final Four, I don't know that any of us predicted Pacers, Celtics, Dallas, Minnesota. Got to give Dallas credit, too. They hung on there. Got a P.J. Washington free throws there, and they knock off OKC in six. So a lot to get to in the NBA. For the first time in a while, Brad was mentioning this to me before we came on the air. No fade Brad tonight necessarily in terms of picks. We will do a review of what you did over the weekend. Boy, was it fantastic. A perfect 0-3, which meant if you were fading Brad, you were a winner three times this weekend. Three golden eggs laid by the golden goose. We'll update where he is now. For the postseason, yeah, he's raising his eyebrow over there because that was a fantastic performance for you to pick three losers.
Would you like my speech now?
Go ahead. You deserve it.
Well, the one thing that you know when you fade Brad is that sometimes you're going against what is obvious to happen. Who in their right mind would see Minnesota go all the way up to the mile high?
You had the favorite there.
In altitude and come back from 20 down for a historic comeback to beat Brad, to fade Brad, and to help pay off our winners after
this stuff is wacky.
After the Pacers' unfathomable win against the Knicks and then the Mavericks on Friday. It was a trifecta. I must commend myself.
I must say, because I thought you were going to come in here 1-2.
Nope.
When Denver's up 20 in that game.
I did too.
I said, okay, Brad's got, Brad, this is the integrity right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is the integrity portion.
3-0, Jason. Or as we say in this business, I was 0-3.
Minnesota managed to flip it, and you, Brett, are what makes this segment so successful. I can't wait to tell you where the percentage is now.
I'm very excited
because
about this.
Because, brother, you strengthened it over the weekend. We will get to that. John Hollinger, who we know around here, former Grizz front office man, now with the Athletic, says the word in NBA circles is that a coach who we know well is one of three Western Conference coaches on the hot seat. That was coming out of the combine.
Oh.
Some of the scuttle he gathered.
Mm. It's a good scuttle.
I'm going to talk about that at some point.
That's going to hit home.
I don't believe it's been discussed yet.
Nope.
Tigers football added another player out of the portal. Ryan Searfield continues to amaze in terms of the transfer portal work.
Money.
He got that money.
Money. That's what
makes the difference. And he's shopping.
Yep.
He's shopping.
We going shopping,
In
Jason.
This case, it's a Memphis native. Brad, I'm going to leave it to you, but Xander Schauffele, awfully impressive over the weekend at Valhalla.
Well done. You love saying that.
Outside of Louisville. Needed a birdie, I understand, on the final hole to
you
do
did.
It.
Yes.
Held off Bryson DeChambeau. Saw something Bryson did over the weekend that I really respected.
Yeah,
because I
saw this too.
I think the jerk he was here has sort of framed a lot of what I believe about Bryson.
Yep.
Jerk.
Yes.
Okay. But he did something very non-jerkish this weekend,
yes.
If that's a phrase at all.
I think that's how I would frame it.
Something
this.
I really liked.
I liked it too.
We'll touch on that, but your winner, Xander Schauffele, very impressed. Before we get to all that, we'll set up the show. At noon, we'll do the rundown like usual. Lots to get to from over the weekend besides what we just touched on. Mark Giannato over the Commercial Appeal's got a column up about David Jones that I read, sort of echoes some of the things that we were saying Friday about David Jones's decision of whether or not to stay with the NBA or to come back to Memphis. That decision upcoming. At 12:50 or so, we will touch on Fave Brad while we, for the first time in a while, don't have a game to pick tonight. And thank God that picks back up tomorrow.
There's plenty to break down over the weekend.
We got to talk about what you did from the weekend, and I must unveil where the win percentage is now if you're fading Brad. Again, it is something we hold up with great pride. It's one of the best segments in the nation, particularly best betting segments.
America Square.
Particularly when America Square can pull off what he did over the weekend.
The Golden Goose.
No question. Y'all
the Goose graphic came out this morning.
Everybody talking about Anthony Edwards. Everybody's talking about the Pacers advancing and all these faces. You are the face. You are the face, especially of that segment. You've made it so
Mike
strong.
Conley making it happen.
Mike Conley.
Yeah.
Happy for him.
Role player.
Aren't we happy for him?
Yeah, absolutely.
Better win it this year,
How wrong was I about Mike Conley?
Better win it this year, Mike. I would tell you that right now.
Yeah, this is your time.
Because West is not going to get any easier next year. There's no promise they will be back to this point next year with a chance here right knocking on the door of the finals. Then at 1 o'clock we'll do Respect Burgers. I got a few of those.
Mm-hmm.
Disrespect Dog, you could always give it to the Showboats, but I feel like it's getting kind of lazy. All right, they battled this year. I just mean to constantly crown them. Now, they've earned it, but they tried to battle back. Still lost.
That's what they do, Jason.
And Flip,
what they do.
Flip was emotional.
DeFilippo?
I don't know if you saw the press conference.
I missed this week's press.
Well, and I don't blame you for missing it. Most folks have checked out on the season. My man got really emotional this week talking about the latest loss. They did lose, but I think they might be able to get off the grill in terms of Disrespect Dog just because of the fight. The fight they showed against Michigan.
I would give that
ill.
That man you spoke of at the golf tournament, I think, is a good submission for a possible Disrespect Dog. I would submit him. We can talk about that story some
Okay.
The guy at the golf tournament that was trying to with the ball, I think that he deserves
exactly
diss.
What you're talking about. Again, that was old DeChambeau. Thought that was very nice what he did there. We'll get to that. And then at 1:25, we'll talk to Yahoo Sports football host and Fox Sports Radio host Jason Fitz. Again, back in that usual Monday slot that we love having him in. So lots to get to. Typically when we do on Monday, sometimes we'll wrap it all together in a nice little package we call Cap or No Cap.
Cap It means lion, but built different. Now, it's cap.
I'm going to say cap.
For no cap.
I'm going to say that that's no cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Jason, we're going to get right into the busy NBA weekend, and it's not slowing down because after tonight, we will have a game every single friggin' night in the East or the Western Conference Finals right here on 92.9.
Praise him.
Praise
the Lord.
Praise the Lord for basketball.
Every night.
And it's funny because we had Oklahoma City get bounced out, but it looks like Minnesota's going to be that young team that we're watching here against the Mavericks. Let's start with Tracy McGrady's comments. Is he right that Anthony Edwards is now the face of the league after Minnesota beats Denver in Game 7 last night, a historic comeback to advance to the Western Conference Finals? Is that cap or no cap?
Before I say what I think here, I'm hoping we have the audio. I want you all to hear it itself. And here's the context. Tracy said this earlier this month before this series was over. Basically saying, if this happens, this is how I see...
Called a shot a little bit.
This is how I see the Ant-Man. So let's hear what Tracy McGrady, NBA great, former NBA had to say about Anthony Edwards in this series.
I'll tell you who's going crazy.
We certainly wouldn't have...
I hit the dump button.
We certainly wouldn't have been... Now, it's on that page.
It's on that page. Here we are. I hit the wrong link.
It's okay, Brad. We're off to a great start here Monday.
It's the Denver Nuggets. Move out of the way, Jason Tatum. Move out of the way, Shade. Whoever. Ant-Man is the face of this league, bro. He's the face of this league because that team is so good. These guys play so well together. And to have the best player in the world leading charge and that could do anything, really no flaws to his game. Ant-Man pulled this off. LeBron, Steph, this new sheriff in town, man. I want to see how Ant-Man handles this team that just won a championship last year and then I have winning the championship again this year.
There you go.
We got a treat for our streamers this morning.
A treat for our streamers. Hopefully we got it over the air. There you go. So little CJ's ears aren't bleeding.
Tracy McGrady loving some Anthony Edwards.
It was a prediction, clearly. Now, the prediction that he'd made, and you heard it there at the end, was that Denver would win this series, that they would go on and repeat as champions, which we obviously know now did not happen. And his point was, if that does not happen, and if Anthony Edwards goes on and wins this series, then you heard him. He said, forget about you, Jason Tatum. Basically, didn't even remember the rest of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's name. Then said, LeBron, Steph, you guys move over. Anthony Edwards is the face of the league if he does this. Cap or no cap?
Yeah, cap or no cap. Do you agree with him?
It's cap.
Oh.
Now, while I am in love, I am smitten.
You've talked about it
with Anthony Edwards. And I think last night, it really illustrated a big part of the reason why. Last night, offensively, he was not face of the league. 16 points, 6 of 24 from the field, right? This was not a great offensive game for Anthony Edwards, although down the stretch, hit a huge 3 for them. Mm-hmm. But if you remember, is Naz Reid, Rudy Gobert, I mean, a lot of those guys were doing the work down the stretch. So in a performance, again, where he's mic'd up. He's going 6 of 24 offensively, but Minnesota won that game really in the third quarter with how it locked down defensively. And Anthony Edwards was again at the front of that. A guy who is struggling offensively decides, I've got to be a difference maker, particularly after Jamal Murray has burned us up for about 24 points in that first half. They hold him to 11 or so, 10 or 11 in the second half. But more importantly, hold Denver to 14 points in that third quarter. What they did defensively was amazing. And again, here's a guy who's struggling offensively, right? If you're going to be a face of the league, I say you got to do it on both ends on most nights, unless you're just so special offensively that it doesn't matter, right? So, I mean, Steph Curry is that. Anthony Edwards shined, helped lead that effort defensively. Now, you can't take anything away from Gobert, who Carl Anthony Towns, the job they did, and sort of if you look at Jokic's numbers, you say, well, what'd they do? No, in terms of their length and making things difficult for Denver, and particularly what they did in taking everybody else out of the game defensively. You had Jokic, and you had Jamal Murray, and you had no one else. And Anthony Edwards and his willingness while struggling to say, I've got to be a difference maker here. Again, with him on Jamal Murray, a lot of that's, and Jamal Murray had come, remember what we said Friday? We said, he's the key. If he's not healthy, like it looked like he had not been now with an elbow and a calf dealing with, if he's not healthy, there's no way Denver's going to win. Because we said it's non-negotiable. Jokic and Jamal Murray have to be great. In this instance, in the first half, Brad, he was going off. It looked like he had taken the shot, whatever, like he wasn't feeling anything. Again, not accusing him of taking pain, whatever. Back to that point.
Murray,
he looked good. Jamal Murray looked great.
Yeah.
Looked like the health not an issue. That wasn't the issue for them in the second half. It was what Minnesota did defensively in a game, again, where he's struggling. Now, back to this point about whether or not he's the face. When you beat Denver in a conference semifinals, no. Still not that. Again, I'm falling in love with Anthony Edwards and everything about him. Hell, the fact that he would agree to Brad to be mic'd up on the road for a game seven, what's that tell you about that guy? Everything's on the table, right? It's all pushed in. That said, he had 16 points in the closeout game. You can't, yes, Anthony Edwards is sort of the head of that defense, but you can't give all of that defensive effort. Again, so incredible for them, Brad, to beat Denver at home, at Denver, three times this series. So impressive. You have to give the entire team credit for that. When you look offensively at what he did for the series, 27.7 points per game. It had come down from Phoenix, where he was 31. Minnesota won this with defense. And the fact that, frankly, you were holding Denver at its place in those three wins at Denver, which are so improbable, you were holding them to 90 points, essentially. Remember, one of those games was 80. They held them to an average of about 90 points. And so back to the point, everything that Anthony Edwards is doing is so impressive right now in terms of his growth. Windhorst talked about this morning. Michael Jordan didn't win his first playoff series until he's 25. Anthony Edwards is 22 and feels like he's got it figured out, Brad. Even when he's struggling, he's finding ways to impact games and lead his team. That said, you got to get a championship. That's why this is cap. Before we're ready to say, move over Steph, move over LeBron. And while I'll agree with him to some extent on the guys that he mentioned, some of these younger guys in terms of Tatum, because Tatum, to that point, hasn't done anything. I feel like you've got to get a championship to be especially the face of the league. If you're talking about, and again, with all due respect, and I get it, you know, Steph and LeBron are probably at the end. There's a good likelihood neither of them is going to win another championship. But those guys have got titles. And before you're putting Anthony Edwards, who I would consider a face, one of the new faces of the league, before you're giving him the face and telling all the OGs and the new up-and-comers to move over, Brad, he's got to win a championship. Would you agree, or would you say he just needs a finals appearance at this point to be the face of the league?
I agree 100% with everything you said, because you have to win a championship to get over Tatum, Morant, SGA, and Devin Booker. And then when you win a championship, you take this amazing thing that you've accomplished and you've crowned it with a championship. So for me, it's an easy answer. You have to win the title to do that thing, especially given the way that this team is constructed of a bunch of role players. You got two big men on this. I mean, that is a really good basketball team. Now, if Denver, for example, if Denver goes on and they would have advanced, then you start talking about Jokic again. You start talking about this unathletic big
right.
that just keeps taking over these games and winning these, especially with an injured point guard, especially in the second half, the way that his guard play was. So, like, for me, you got to beat – now you have to beat the Mavericks, and you got to go through Kyrie. You got to go
especially
through Luka.
To be the face.
Yes. You gotta
we're talking about one face. And I'm not – we could have a whole debate about whether the league is one face or whether it's several faces when we're talking about face of the league. I could make an argument that LeBron James is the face of the league right now, still, even at 39 years old. But to your point, if you're going to be the face like Tracy McGrady is talking about, you have to have a championship.
And I think what he said after the game is why this is important, because the first question that they asked him was, how are you looking at this Mavericks series? And the first thing he said was, I'll be guarding Kyrie Irving. That's my guard. And I thought that was a really interesting comment, because those are the dudes you got to beat to be the face of the league.
There's no question about it. Again, it's different. And beating Jokic is a part of that.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, again, we discussed it last week, and others have brought this up. You know, Mike on that rise up, you know, when he's knocking off Cleveland at that point, Bulls hadn't done anything. He's knocking off Cleveland with that shot. It's sort of, and you saw it on Gatorade commercials for years to come, it sort of marked the rise.
Yeah.
Of Mike towards that point. But again, he didn't get goated until you're winning championships. And while I love what Tracy McGrady's saying here, because I think he's just as clearly he's as in love with Anthony Edwards as I think we're all have of telling him, if we're being honest again, we all kind of fall in form here. It's not time yet. He's still got to do more. Although, my gosh, 22 years old, he's already going to Western Conference Finals, maybe to a finals. Again, it feels like, Like, this kid can do anything. And, like, he wants it all. Again, I would use the example of, you want to be mic'd up in a game 7 on the road at Denver? Most folks would say you're going to lose. Don't do this, right? Whether the audio could turn out and backfire on you, by the end of that game, he's waving bye-bye. And in a game, again, where some stars, you know, at 6-24 from the field might cower away or decide, you know what, all my teammates just going to have to do this. I thought he led the effort defensively, got a couple big steals on Jamal Murray, was sort of that emotion. I'll tell you what I was – the other thing. There were a lot of Minnesota fans in Denver. It was weird when Minnesota was making that run in the second half, just a little sidebar, how loud it got for Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota fans that were in there, because you could feel the energy as part of that comeback. It was almost like the Denver fans were holding their breath, thinking, oh, my gosh, no way we're going to blow this, right? We've been up 20. And so, again, all due credit and respect to Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Mike Conley, obviously a huge part of winning these last couple of games, clearly for that. But we're not quite there yet on face of the league. You got to get a championship to do that.
I don't think Gobert's also getting his flowers, how well he played in Game 7.
This dude was hitting a guy we ridiculed and pretty much the nation, anyway, the world, anybody watching NBA ridiculed after he got banked by Nikola earlier in this a guy we ridiculed hitting turnaround jumpers last night
in his face,
making huge plays, knocking down free throws. And what did I tell you last week about the Grizzlies needing size?
We talked about this.
Did that not make
the same thing I saw.
Jokic got 19, 20 rebounds down there. If you don't have something for, and again, they've got two bigs to throw at it. It's everybody right now. It's Lively for Dallas. PJ Washington's a boards guy. Like, they've got active bodies. You have got to get big. You cannot be 25th in rebounding.
Couldn't agree more.
Like the Grizzlies were last year, if you're truly going to be a contender. You don't do that with Jaren Jackson at the center position. I thought it highlighted something we had noted and talked about
about Friday.
This weekend and the way you had to dominate around the glass.
I'm glad you brought this up from our staff meeting earlier, Jason. The coaches had their press conferences afterwards, and this one is, in my opinion, pretty notable. Denver coach Mike Malone crossed the line with the reporter yesterday who asked him about losing after going up 20. Cap or no cap? Did he cross the line?
Oh, this is easy. No cap. He crossed the line. Post-game press conference.
I'm glad you said that.
At some point, he's going, you know this is coming. You have blown a 20-point lead in this game, and we can give Minnesota all the credit in the world, but Denver opened that door. There was no excuse. You're the defending champion. You had Game 7 at home, and you're up 20. Okay, there's no excuse for them, and really they should be looking at every single player, not named Jokic, not named Jamal Murray, frankly. And Michael Malone should be looking at himself. There is no question about that. And so when asked about the difficulty of the loss, especially after leading by 20 points, Michael Malone needs to be accountable in this situation.
Yes.
Here's what he said. How hard is it to absorb a loss like this after going ahead by 20? Next question, man. The season's over. That's what's hard. F being up by 20. The season's over. You don't understand that. The season's over. It's hard. Stupid A question.
Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions.
That's essentially what it was.
Yep.
It was that moment. Obviously here with much greater stakes at hand than what Penny had when asked by Jeff Calkins at that point in the season. A losing streak, by the way.
A little different context.
The context much different in terms of what's at stake.
That's
here.
Right.
And this is a trip, obviously, to the Western Conference Finals that's at stake.
He looked angry, too.
But the frustration levels that are then projected onto the media with what's being asked, what I would say in both cases, and certainly here, a fair question.
Sure.
Okay? I mean, it's absolutely fair. Someone's going to ask it. If that reporter doesn't ask it, the next one will. And this guy has to know it's coming. Now, here's a Michael Malone that after winning the championship last year, he's like, run that ass back.
Yeah, bring it back.
Like, he was all energy, all swagger. He's all bring the 100%. Smoke and everything else. And so you cannot flip the script like this. And all of a sudden, the media is doing a bad job or asking insensitive questions,
right?
When you are blowing a game where you had a 20-point lead at home, there's no excuse for this. 15 points at the half. Frankly, we were saying, I mean, at halftime, it looked like they were going to teach Minnesota the lesson that we thought Denver would in the end, that we are the experienced team. You guys are not quite ready. That's what it looked like at the half. And it certainly looked like it when Denver built a 20-point lead there early in that third quarter. This is who a lot of these guys are. I don't want to just pin it to Michael Malone. Things going great. They'll get in your face, rub it in the Lakers' face last year.
Yep.
Like he did. He said that Bruce Brown was coming back. He was obviously wrong about that. He made these guarantees and everything else. I think he stopped short of guaranteeing a championship, but he talked about running it back. He was wrong with his prediction on Bruce Brown. They let him go. They bet on some of these young role players, and they didn't do a thing for you. Yesterday in that game, he had nobody to blame really but himself in terms of you clearly didn't have these role players. Michael Porter Jr. too, we had talked about that last series. So good against the Lakers, but Minnesota was a better team defensively, and was he going to be as much of a factor? He was not. Michael Malone needs to be looking at himself just as much as those role players for Denver are. And again, that was the fairest affair. Reporters got a job to do. And you losing by 20, there's some context in that. Got to hurt a little bit more when that thing's so in your grasp. You're advancing. You should be playing Dallas this week.
That is no cap. And I'm glad you said that, because the first thing I thought of was last year, you brought up the
it's
the
so easy to take it out parade? On the media that's got to,
I mean,
ask
he's,
the question.
He's drunk, basically, on the stage, rubbing it in everybody's ass, and it's like, bro, you just got beat in Game 7 in your house, and now you're telling us to shut up, and that's a stupid...
He said, is Brucey B going anywhere? Hell no, we're running this ish back. I mean, this
all
dude...
country.
He was all swagger, everything
like,
else.
Oh, but get the hell out of here.
But now this is stepping on his toes. This is an insensitive question.
Right.
Again, no, it's not. It's the media doing their job. These guys, again, they're so sensitive about everything. When it's time to be held accountable and say this is on us, they'd rather turn it back on you and say you're doing a bad job. We've seen it. Yeah, whether it's coaches, whether it's LeBron James saying be better, these guys have all got to answer these questions after L's. Michael Malone isn't doing it too much more. Because I tell you, they had no business losing this game.
And nobody says it's easy when you lost, but you don't need to rub it in the...
the same energy, bro.
Disrespecting like, in that moment, you've got to take a breath maybe or something and handle it a little better, but it is frustrating to watch. I think I agree with you.
And you had to know it was coming,
it's
Brad.
Coming.
So prepare yourself
just take a minute
to grit your teeth.
And that's what they do. They take 30
and
minutes
give that
or so.
Answer.
Yeah, if for folks who don't know, the way these press conferences work is the coach goes back with the team. They usually are in the back for about 30 minutes before the post-game press conference happens. So you get a moment to go, okay, here's how I'm going to handle
this. You
know
what's coming.
You know what's coming.
You just lost this game by 20. It's embarrassing, so you're going to get this question. Grit your teeth and give it the... 30-second answer.
Yeah, just
all it matters. This is on us. Us, the role players. I didn't have us prepared, and then it's nothing, Brad. And then no one talks about it. Instead,
it's
you give them this video, this content that goes viral, and now you look like an ass.
That's it,
pretty much.
Let's go to this Knicks series. The Knicks and their biggest fan Stephen A. Smith aren't going to win anything until he stops trolling the Cowboys. This is exactly what I was thinking about. Of course, Stephen A. trolls the Cowboys and their fan base. He will not win anything with his Knicks and for not winning anything since 1995. He's not going to, I guess, I'm kind of confused on this one.
The Knicks will never win big.
Yep.
The Knicks and Stephen
until
A.
he
Smith,
stops with the Cowboys
until he stops
stuff.
Trolling the Cowboys fan base for not winning anything since 1995.
Sorry, I jumped it up.
It's a real reach here, but I think there's something here.
It's kind of karma?
Listen, exactly.
It's karma.
Did you see him walk into the arena yesterday? He had his suit. He had already told folks he was going to be in Madison Square Garden, that he was leaving L.A. or whatever they do, the studio show. So he had to be there for his Knicks. And then he proceeds, and I saw Will Bond just like rolling his eyes, because Stephen A., he used to be this great journalist. And again, I love Stephen A. He has earned everything he's gotten. But I could see the old journalist in Will Bond thinking to himself, don't make yourself part of the story. Stephen A., like he says in the commercial, he's making his own rules for himself.
Yeah.
And essentially, they throw it to him, Malik and everything else, and he's over there giving a pep talk for the report before the game.
Right.
Because, of course, he's gone to this thing as a fan in this instance of his team. And that's fine. That's fine. But he went all in, pep talk, screaming about Josh Hart showing up and the Villanova 3 and DiVincenzo. And DiVincenzo was good, by the way. And two, this Knicks team broke down. Like, it didn't have much to fight with at the end. But he was all in about New York, New York, New York, just going nuts before the game, to the point that, like I said, Wilbon's rolling his eyes, because now, you're making yourself a part of the story. Like, your presence here is going to help pull the Knicks through. He grabbed Spike, and I got to be honest with you, y'all. Nobody holds themselves up more than Stephen A. Smith. You got a legend that he's pulled into the shot. If you guys saw this, you know, I saw this. Maybe you cringed like I did. Mm. He pulls the legendary Knicks fan, Spike Lee, next to him. And as he's running his mouth, yelling on the mic, Spike's trying to get to it, but he can't because Steven's doing his shaking and everything else. He's got his arm, and he knocks Spike's hat off in the shot during the thing because he doesn't care what Spike Lee has to say. It's just, my boy, maybe we're going to... He's just going wild, okay? And it knocks Spike's hat. Spike's got to pick it up. He's basically, do you want me to talk or not? But my point is, like, he's losing himself in his Knicks fandom, but holding himself up number one. I'm the reason that, you know, we're going to pull through, blah, blah, blah. That's what's going on in my mind, is I'm watching him just sort of shake Spike Lee to death. Bro, classic. This is what happens when you troll a fan base. Because let's be real. So much of what Stephen A. is now, and it's okay, we evolve, but so much of what he is now is a character.
Yeah, it's like a pep rally artist.
Exactly, as opposed to, and Stephen A. still breaks stuff. He goes on his podcast or whatever. He's got opinions. He gives you all that. But he came up reporter, right? Much like in the way that Michael Wilbon did. What he does now is much different. And Brad, what I would say is what he's most known for now, in terms of going viral and everything else, is whether it's screaming about the Knicks
or right, trolling today, Cowboys.
Or trolling the Cowboys.
That's exactly right.
He's gotten himself up on Jerry Jones's plane, his helicopter, by how, you know, anti-Cowboys, and he goes in there and hates on them. Bro, what do you think that is? That's sports karma. And I don't see how he doesn't connect the two things. They're now, to be honest with you, they're the two biggest things in terms of Stephen A.'s brand that's out there. And again, look at it. It's made him millions.
It's actually worked for him.
But believe me, when something works, you lay into it. And Stephen A. absolutely has. But, dude, if he hasn't tied those two things together
yet.
That's
karma.
Because I tell you, it's the same thing for John's Raiders, for however long he continues to troll the Tennessee Titans.
Yes.
Do you see those two things perhaps connected?
Yes.
Exactly. John trolls the hell out of the Titans.
Balance.
He'll never, until you can be at peace, right, with yourself, and you're not giving all that energy into something else, your teams ain't never going to win. That's what I've always thought with sports. Sports karma is real. Brad.
You've always treated
him like
that.
And I don't understand why Stephen A. doesn't see the connection. Yeah, Nick's always going to be true.
Yes.
They'll never make it through until, again, and this is a guy who should subscribe to this theory because he holds himself up to so high, until he stops trailing. But he can't do it.
It's
he can't
part of
do
his
it anymore
now.
Because he's late. It's part of what makes him, what, $8 million a year. Again, not hating on Stephen, but just making an observation here that these are two things are connected. Man came up in there like he was a player yesterday.
Yes.
They had the camera on him and everything. Just, man, rolling my eyes. And you can say you're a fan. Don't act like you're part of this whole force that's going to help the Knicks go through. He got ridiculous with it. And frankly, you know, you get with what comes with that.
I agree with you. What's interesting about the Cowboys brand.
Man, ridiculous. With it.
I think this speaks to the Cowboys brand. And also, the Knicks are a massive franchise, and they're in New York City. But the Cowboys trolling videos that he does, way more popular.
He's trolling America's team.
Because
it is the number one. He's playing a heel.
He is the heel of America's team.
Exactly, to America's team. It's been huge.
Huge.
For him. And especially because the Cowboys give him every reason, every playoffs to say, I told you so.
Yes.
These boys ain't going to do nothing
true.
Since 95.
Yes.
The Cowboys give him all the ammo in the world. And so Steven's got to realize that the two things are connected, at least according to old Jay Smoove.
I want to get to the last one, and we're going to talk about this some more throughout the show. But I wanted to touch on the Knicks real quick because I think I agree with you. They have work to do, clearly. And then, of course, Tibbs' contract is part of that, too.
Again, the whole narrative today, you saw it all over ESPN, and I've seen it elsewhere coming out of New York, that he ran him into the ground. Because that's always been the narrative with teams, Tibbs, that he's hard on guys, runs them into the ground, that initially, after the initial surge, by the end of it, you're so worn out
Levine,
by the way he plays you and everything else. I'm not subscribing to any of that. They were backed into a corner in terms of what they lost. I mean, Bogdanovich, Mitchell Robinson, Ananobi tried to play yesterday. He could not move. credit the guy for trying to give it a go, but actually you were a liability defensively, a guy who was the anchor of their defense. I don't know if you saw it. Bobby Marks.
I did see this.
Bobby Marks had their offseason sort of prospectus that he's done for every team now eliminated. Some 25-9 to 24, I need to go find them.
Yeah.
They were incredible when OG Anunoby was in the lineup. They've made great moves. DiVincenzo, I believe, had 39 in that game yesterday. He was fantastic. They ran out of bodies. And I don't think that it's Tibbs necessarily. I guess maybe you could pin a couple of them. You know, Josh Hart wearing down because he's not coming out of games. And so by the end of that series, you know, he's really banged up. You know, you might be able to pin one or two of these cases on these guys played hard. You rode them a little tough all season long. But in the end, dude, it's just the circumstances of things. And if they had had Bogdanovich, if they had had some of those guys, there's a good chance that they are I don't think there's a good chance. They are probably advancing. Pacers benefited quite a bit from injury luck.
Yes, I agree 100%.
Bucks as well.
Well, and the Knicks, a lot of people just tuned in because the playoffs just started, but the Knicks have been deeper than this throughout the year. They just were so nicked up.
I mean, I didn't even mention Julius Randle, did I? I mean, that's A number
they
one in terms of guys that they were missing, and you had guys. But even Hartenstein in that game, I saw it. Like, he's been playing, you know, he's had to step up with two other bigs in front of him going down. Even he was holding on to his side at some point in that game. Knicks just got too banged up. I don't blame Tibbs. That's a deal where they've got the right formula. Oh, gee, that move was fantastic for them. And so they've got to see if they can re-sign Hartenstein. But they've got a good formula going.
Wish OG was on the Grizzlies. Let's talk about the Grizzlies before we get to cap or no cap.
Got wings now, though.
Yeah, I mean, we got some wings, so that's good. Taylor Jenkins is who we're talking about next. Taylor Jenkins on the hot seat next year. Cap or no cap?
All right, before I say what I think here, this is not old Smoothie coming up with a Monday hot take based on what we've seen in the playoffs. Over the weekend, I believe it dropped yesterday over at The Athletic, John Hollinger, who we know well, talked about the draft combine and things he pulled out of it. And as part of that, he talked about the coaching chatter that goes on up there. And here's what he wrote. While many feel it was inevitable for the Cavaliers would seriously consider making a change, just as my colleagues reported once their season ended Wednesday, the other topic at hand was determining which teams were tipping their hand toward hot seats next season. This is a couple things very interesting here, Brad. I want you to listen closely. Three names that came up in my conversation with folks around the league were the Memphis Grizzlies' Taylor Jenkins, the New Orleans Pelicans' Willie Green, and the Portland Trail Blazers' Chauncey Billups. Now, all three Western Conference coaches, the first of which, obviously, Taylor Jenkins. Here's what he wrote about Jenkins. Jenkins comes off a 27-win season that was plagued by a myriad of injuries. He's mostly had success in Memphis, including finishing second in the 2022 Coach of the Year vote, but the Grizzlies have hit some turbulence since then. More notably, here's something, Brad, we keep kind of going back and forth on. Note this. More notably, Memphis also fired the majority of his assistant coaches just before the combine. That's always a tell the head coach isn't in a great spot. He goes on to talk about Green, who won 49 games last year. Recent contract extension, he says, likely makes it untenable to move on from him this summer, but a slow start next year could be a different story. Then he goes to Billups, who we all realize in Portland is probably in bad shape over there. Now, Billups got a roster issue, too. They got a bunch of mess over there. But here, again, he notes something about going back to the Grizzlies situation. Billups has 1 year left on his deal with a GM who didn't hire him, and he doubles down on this. As with Jenkins, the Blazers fired multiple assistants of his, including his brother. So he goes back again to the Grizzlies situation that we're, I don't know, Brad, that we're super clear on here. Because we know about Noah LaRoche coming in. We've had some reporting, both from Anthony Sane and The Athletic. I think it was Kelly Iko. I know that had said the Grizzlies are... Anthony said, I'm hearing there's going to be some turnover. I think Iko went with... They did a restructure, but cleaned out some Grizzlies assistants. Drew's come on and talked about this, that he doesn't from his understanding, there has been no clean out, and yet you've got Hollinger again over at The Athletic saying that this happened before the combine. There was a clean out of his assistants, and oh, by the way, that's a telltale sign when a guy's on the hot seat, right? When you're, what do we say, Brad, when we talked about this? That if you're cleaning out your staff, you know, Taylor's close with Brad Jones. He's close with some of those folks. And we haven't seen any news that it's Brad Jones that's out. But my point is that usually is coming from upstairs, a mandate down, as opposed to the coach feeling like he's got to change up his assistants, right? And as Hollinger writes, it's usually a telltale sign that you're on the hot seat. Here's what I'd say about Taylor Jenkins and whether or not this is cap or no cap. Because, again, you've got John Hollinger writing that Taylor Jenkins is one of the three Western Conference coaches, at least according to his info and what he pulled out, one of three Western Conference coaches on the hot seat going into next year. Here's the deal. Taylor Jenkins has been here 5 years. And like Hollinger said, 1 year you're second in the coach of the year voting, you know, two number two seeds. You've won one playoff series, okay? You've been knocked out twice in the first round, missed the playoffs the two other seasons, and you've won one playoff series against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Next year, Brad, if I'm not mistaken, will be year six. Taylor Jenkins is going to be judged on what the Grizzlies do in the playoffs next year. And you know why? Because of what the Grizzlies have, Brad. And barring some ungodly storm like they had this year, right, where you don't have your almost all of your pieces out there, next year he will ultimately be – because I don't care if it's one injury or two injuries. Look at the Knicks right now. Look at how people are judging Tibbs. You will be judged on this job, Taylor Jenkins, next year with what the Grizzlies do in the playoffs, Brad. And if he is failing, if he's not showing himself to be a contender, the Grizzlies, and I think as evident as John Hollinger is trying to throw you the breadcrumbs here, I think the Grizzlies would be inclined to move on, because what have we always talked about? It's very rare when you're the guy that starts it and finishes it. We've talked about it with Anthony Sane. We've talked about having others on. I'm talking about as a head coach. When you've got something that people feel is contender or on the rise to be one, it's rare that a guy goes from putting it together, starting off with those young guys, to finishing it off. Mark Jackson, Steve Kerr, we can go down, you know, we can go down the list. Mm-hmm. And so we've Doug Collins, Phil Jackson. Like, you can go through history in terms of the league. And so my point is, the Grizzlies have a situation that they feel like has to be a contender next year. And if they are not that in the playoffs, I do believe that Taylor Jenkins, because the Grizzlies looking at this situation and saying, you know what, we can go get a proven coach. Now, don't ask me who it is. Maybe it's Frank Vogel. Maybe it's some coach that's just got a championship under his resume.
Yeah.
But my point would be, look, this is what the NBA, what the folks in the front offices and all the, you know, what they're talking about up at the combine. This is what they're saying. And so imagine what that front office is saying. If indeed a mandate has come down, as has been reported now several times by The Athletic, that Taylor had to clean out his staff, there's nobody else in terms of to hold accountable next year. Remember, this is a players' league. They're not going to move off of Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson or Ja Morant. They're going to move off the coach, Darvin Ham, Frank Vogel. What are we talking about here? I mean, Frank had even won a championship. They only gave him 1 year with Phoenix.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if folks missed this over the weekend. Again, what Hollinger was putting down in The Athletic yesterday, I think, again, this posted on Sunday. But I do believe that it is no cap that Taylor Jenkins, who's done a relatively solid job here as the Grizzlies coach, and I think you'd have to say that two number one seeds, but still it sort of hangs over just one playoff series. I think it's no cap that he is on the hot seat going into next year. And again, the judgment won't be so much what seed you are. The judgment will be, hopefully it's a high one, by the way, the judgment will be what they do on the playoffs. And Brad, I think, man, maybe if they're not going to a Western Conference Finals, I don't know, but I know that front office will feel pressure to get a guy in there that they feel like can take them over the top.
Well, this is, I agree.
And we may have always been getting here. But it's weird how we haven't, locally, there hasn't been much reporting on these, right? They're keeping a good lid on this. The Grizzlies, I mean, here locally in terms of what's happening. Because nationally, guys, they're saying, hey, all the signs are there. Taylor Jenkins on the hot seat. They told him to clean out his entire staff before the combine. I mean, that's what they've reported here a couple of times now. And so I'm going to agree with John Hollinger that Taylor Jenkins probably is on a hot seat. Again, one that will be determined by what he does in the playoffs next year.
Well, I think you got to agree with
him. So I'm going to go no cap.
I agree. I go no cap, too. You got to agree with Hollinger because he's plugged into these front offices. Heck, he was on the front office before he left the Grizzlies.
I mean, I guess technically, and we could look at, if we're looking at this fairly, you could say that maybe Hollinger's got an axe to grind. I don't know.
I don't
think
so.
Again, they moved on from you and everything else.
I'm
just meaning in terms of writing something about this, about a guy that at one point is his coach.
Sure.
right? You could say, well, maybe these guys got an axe grind. He's not there now. I don't think he's making this up.
No.
You're not putting your reputation on the line when you're talking about hot seats. Again, these are guys' jobs. They're professions. You're not going to do that unless you are hearing that up there from front offices and everything else.
Which is
my point is I would throw out the Hollinger has the axe to grind against the Grizzlies because it didn't. I want to discuss this wholly.
Yeah,
that more reason why I believe.
Yeah, I agree.
What he is saying.
Yeah.
Just want to back up kind of where you're at, and that I don't think this is an axe to grind column where he's just throwing Taylor out there. I think ultimately, again, yes, this season was awful. Yes, though, you found it looks like two gems and GG Jackson and Vince Williams. But ultimately, especially now that you're going into year six, you're going to be measured by how far the Grizzlies go in the playoffs. And frankly, I think it's probably the right move at this time.
Yeah.
I'm really just interested, though, when we will know more. We know Noah LaRoche is coming in, but we don't even have any real reporting locally on, who else is out. Who's out? Have all these folks been reassigned? Were they really moved off of, as The Athletic is saying? Do you have an entirely new staff next year? You know, that's something that we've got, is up in the air, just like this, what are the Grizzlies going to do with the 9 pick that we haven't seen much reporting on, and yet the Athletic nationally has continued to bang it home that this guy had to clear out his entire staff is essentially what they've reported. So be watching this closely.
I like what he did where he kind of did a parallel between the Portland coaching situation in Memphis because he wrote that in a very articulate way to connect the two.
How about that Portland fired Chauncey's brother.
Brother, yes.
So well, remember, they're on a new GM, too.
Yeah.
So they don't give a damn about Chauncey. That's how it is when you don't have your guy in there. But that's the automatic telltale sign when you're firing his relatives that are on the dang staff. But that's his point. They have connected those two things in a way that they're putting, again, using that as evidence that Taylor will indeed be judged ultimately this year going into it on a hot seat.
Well, and there's several of these. I was listening to the Unsportsmanlike, our morning show on 92.9, talk about Tibbs. This is why I think Tibbs is going to get re-signed even at $14 million, because these dudes are now getting $13, $14, $15 million, and some of them aren't doing a good job and are on the hot seat, like Monty up in Detroit. But Tibbs has Brunson's dad is on staff
right.
In New York. He's going to get his $14 million. You can guarantee Tibbs is going to be back in New York. But for Memphis, if a guy like Tibbs was on the block, they would love to probably have Thibodeau at running their front,
I mean, if Taylor Jenkins doesn't have Memphis back to real contender status, and I think that's sort of where, you just wonder what that front office is thinking, because a first-round playoff win is not going to be enough.
No, they
You've already
more.
Done that around here, right? So does that mean then he's got to reach a Western Conference Finals or mm-hmm. clearly Finals? Because, again, just one playoff series now over 5 years is not enough, particularly at a time, Brad, where the West is about to be through the roof crazy from a competitive standpoint. And at the point we keep making, the urgency has to be high because you've only got Jaren Jackson for sure for the next 2 years. And so, again, how long can you wait on Taylor Jenkins to develop or get this team over the hump? I think ultimately because you think, we got a pretty good situation. And there's probably a lot of guys out there that would like to coach John Morant, a lot of qualified guys that, you start telling yourself could get us over the hump. Again, is that a coach with a championship? Is it a coach that's currently employed that maybe you could lure from their situation back here? But I think ultimately that John Hollinger is trying to lay down the breadcrumbs for us here. If Taylor Jenkins ain't making a Western Conference Finals or being darn competitive and coming just up short of one, he may be out of a job next year, because you got to imagine there are a lot of candidates, like the Grizzlies feel like they'd have a nice pool of candidates wanting to come in here and coach Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr. and be the one saying, I can get that over the top.
Yeah.
And it happens in the NBA every single year.
One thing I would add, though, while I agree with you that he's on the hot seat, these guys are, A, they're hired to be fired, number one.
1,000%. So, it's never personal. It's a player's leave.
The second thing is,
so you go before they do.
I don't believe the roster is also something that, while I agree with you on Taylor, I also don't believe the roster is as good as Minnesota's is right
now. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm not going to give him the out and say this is the loophole, but you have got to get him a center next to Jaren next year.
That's it.
I mean, because again, if you've told yourself we're going to do this, we were 25th in rebounding this year, but we're going to come back at this thing with Jaren and Brandon Clark,
That ain't going
to
cut it.
We're going to be one of, because what did we just say last week? Look at these teams that are still in it. You have got to be able to dominate on the glass, get offensive rebounds.
Yep.
If they tell themselves
that our roster's fine, it's going to be on Taylor.
Then that won't all be on Taylor.
That's what I'm saying.
That said, though, Brad, we know who they make scapegoats in this league.
Even for
front office roster mistakes,
right.
You saw it in Phoenix. You saw it with the Lakers. They make the coach the scapegoat. You're right. That's a great point because I don't think it's a right.
He shouldn't
fight.
Be that unless you figure this out.
I don't think you'll be a true contender. I'm so glad you brought up that point. Unless they've got that big, and you need to go out and get a veteran one, a proven one.
That's what
and
I'm
really
saying.
Go at this right. And give Taylor what he needs from that standpoint.
Right.
But that said, he'll be the fall guy.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
He'll be the fall guy whether they got that guy or not. It's a no-brainer. You have got to go out and get that guy.
Yep.
It's a no-brainer. Because you can, again, you cannot be in bottom half of the league
right.
And expect to be contender next year just because you got Jaren, Ja, and Bane. It's not just going to happen because we talk about it.
It's not
you
just going to happen because he's
around
yes.
On the boards.
You can fire Taylor without
teams.
A center, but you need a center.
Need a center.
And by the way,
his
you
head
probably
will still roll.
You still got to figure out your pieces too.
Brad, he's talked about it. They have to go get that guy.
I
don't think necessarily throwing a young guy, one of these rookies, at it is the answer.
I agree with
you. I think you need to invest here and go big
right.
At trying to get that veteran center. I don't give it, you know, whether it's Jared Allen or whoever. Got to go get that guy. So, good discussion. A lot to discuss there in cap or no cap. We went a little long. We've got more to do. Obviously, the rundown coming at you at 12. We're going to talk about Faye Brad over the weekend, how good he was, tell you where he is now, get you set up for the week. Don't have the game tonight, but we've got one just about every day of the week going forward in these Western and Eastern Conference finals. So,